darkness pass, yield sunshine all the way. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
This last verse is beautiful.
It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in his sorrow bears a part that none can bear below.
Why?
'Cause how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
And believe it or not, that what keeps me singing, I don't know about you. Those that don't know, this is Jim. I have to call him James because my name is Jim.
James.
He won't accept Jim, but he will accept James. It's more proper.
James.
But we're going to be singing this song and be going right into the next song following it. And the one we'll be going into will be, if I can find you, Sunshine in My Soul. So we'll be going right from this one, right into that one. And I don't know about you, but next week we're going to, my family's all going to be here except one, and we want to put on a musical for you. And we're going to have a lot of fun. He keeps me singing.
746 in your celebration hymnal.
There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still. In all life's ebb and flow, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of his grace, resting neath his sheltering wing, always looking on his smiling face, that is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon he's coming back to welcome me,
and you,
far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall reign with him on high.
Because
Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. There is sunshine
right across the page
in my soul today, more glorious and bright than glows in any earthly sky. For Jesus is my light. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed
blessed sunshine when the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There is music in my soul today, for when the Lord is near, the dove of peace sings in my heart, the flowers of grace appear. Sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll, when Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There is gladness in my soul today, and hope and love and praise for blessings which he gives me now, for joy is future bounds. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll, when Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul.
If you notice in two of those songs that we were singing, is that I would like to see Christ's smiling face. And even when I've done, well, if I've ever done any bad things.
If.
I think sometimes, you know, it's hard to believe. I had Jim and Cheryl and some of them do some things that were so stupid.
We're still waiting.
So bad that I couldn't spank him. I had to laugh. You ever have kids do that? It was so stupid. It was so ignorant. I had to laugh anyway. And I think sometimes when we do some things, my angel has to shake his head and say, oh, please, Lord, please. This can't happen. And I think the Lord sometimes just smiles, don't you? He's our heavenly what? Father. And if he's that heavenly Father, I think many times I think we always see this angry God, the picture that all during the dark ages, this frowning, ugly face. And I really, I just want to pause for a moment. My sister's over here. And
her husband.
And her husband. And it's the only one, right? We've never talked about this in public. But I can actually say I saw a lot of troubles in my life, but she's been through a mill and a half. And she took care of my mother in her latter years, and Jack had to tolerate our family at the same time, which were all normal. And he's 36 years retired from being a fireman and was in the Marines prior to that. And this is the first time they get a chance to hear us sing. It probably the last time they'll be in any church, but after hearing us. But anyway, next week we're going to put on a complete musical. Diana's going to be here, Cheryl's going to be here, and everything will be in music next week. And we're going to share some things about the mission fields. That I have a Nigerian report that when we were there, the Nigerians, the Biafrans, were fighting the Federals, and we were never allowed to say anything what happened in Africa, because they were afraid we'd never get back in Nigeria. I have permission to share some of that stuff with you, and I think you'll be seeing. So there's a song now, I think it's only appropriate. There is a fountain, excuse me.
And this is in the regular hymn book, and hymn 336.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath the blood, lose all their guilt and stain.
lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunged beneath the flood, lose all.
At you. We always keep praying that when we come into church, we bring the temple with us, don't we? There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place.
Sweet.
we stand for our introit. As I say, I just think this piece is so nice, just to come here and worship our Lord together.
We have come into his house and gathered his name to worship him. We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into and gathered in his name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Christ the Lord.
And now the beautiful Willie part.
We'll forget about yourself and concentrate on him and worship him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on him and worship him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on him. Worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Christ the Lord.
Heavenly Father, we are here this morning to worship you, to adore you. We're here to forget about ourselves. And so this morning we ask that Jesus Christ be lifted up, that his name be glorified, and that everything about him be worshiped. Bless us to this end, Lord, for we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
The opening hymn is 152 in the hymnal.
Story, huh? Gotta do that. Let's put this in. Okay, you want to sit here with the rest of the girls? Well, good morning. I was gonna say boys and girls, but it's all girls. Well, let me tell you a story about boys, actually. Oh, you want a story about girls? All right, we'll make it about girls, but it's about boys to start with, okay? My mom, you know, when she had us, she had three boys. I'm the first one, and then my brother, Sal, and then my third brother is Juan Carlos. But when Juan Carlos was born, my mom thought in her mind that it was going to be a girl. And she had her mind set up. She bought stuff for a girl. She started, you know, doing all the preparations for a girl. And she just knew that it was going to be a girl. And so, you know, she went on in the pregnancy, and finally the baby was born. Surprise. It's not a girl. It's a boy. Oh, she was so bummed out. She didn't know what to do. She had all this stuff for a girl, and all of a sudden she had a boy. Well, she had a whole bunch of stuff for boys because my brother and I were before our last little brother, Juan Carlos, so she had everything for a boy. But all this stuff for a girl, she didn't know what to do with. And so we started going around in the town, and visiting some of the families, and come to find out there was a young girl that was just about due to have a baby. Now, keep in mind that this is, I'm going to date myself here, but this was like 30 years ago. They couldn't tell exactly, you know, if it was a boy or a girl yet. And so my mom said, oh, yeah, maybe she'll have a girl. And so she said, okay, listen, if you have a girl, I have all this stuff for you. So you just let me know if it's a girl. You can just, you know, have it. I'll bring it to you, and we'll let you have it. She said, okay. Well, sure enough, about 2 weeks later, she had a little girl. And so my mom got over there, gets her all the stuff, and man, she was just thrilled, you know, to have all this stuff for a girl. And of course, you know, my brother Juan Carlos and her grew up together because they were friends, and that kind of connected the families, and they always chatted and talked. And my mom kind of got over her whole ideal of having a girl. Until years later, when I was almost 13 now, she finally had a girl, a little girl, curly hair, just even more curly than Isabella. Just, you know, just a beautiful little girl. But that kind of reminds me of a story in the Bible. You know, there's several stories in the Bible where people couldn't have babies, and they wanted babies, and they finally had a baby. But the story in all of this is that when they had a baby, they gave it away. For example, Hannah, she had a little boy. And when she had that little boy, she says, Lord, it belongs to you. Took him to the temple where he was raised and educated, became a prophet. That's what our life is all about. It's about giving. And the best thing we can do is give ourselves to God. Now, I'll tell you guys here, don't tell the guys back there, but I'll tell you here, the best time to give your life over to God is when you're young. You know why? Because God has a longer period of time to do something with you. When you get my age, there's not that much room anymore for God to do, you know, a lot of stuff. And then when you get like your parents' age, or, you know, their parents, you know, it's just a little time. But when you're young, you got your whole life before you, and God can do a lot with you if you learn to give yourself to Him and learn to give yourself to His service. He can do great things with you. I just want to pray this morning that God will bless you on that end, okay? Let me pray with you. Our Father in heaven, we have some beautiful girls here this morning. Lord, you know their life. You know their life situations right now. You know that how you're leading them and how you're working in their lives. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll continue to work in their lives to the way that you'll make their lives a living example for you. That you'll make them, Lord, reflections of who you are. And in doing so, draw many, Lord, to you. I ask a special blessing on the homes represented here. And I just want to pray, Lord, that we will learn to give ourselves to you, to sacrifice ourselves, so that your work may go on. For we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, girls. You may go to your seat.
Reading this morning is Acts 6, verse 1. I'm going to read from the Amplified version, so it may be a little different from what you see on the screen. Now about this time, when the number of the disciples was greatly increasing, complaint was made by the Hellenists, the Greek-speaking Jews, against the native Hebrews because their widows were being overlooked and neglected in the daily distribution of relief.
know, a lot of things happened at Sinai that surprised me. I should have told him that's portable.
Detached.
Yeah, detached. All things work together for those that love the Lord. This is a beautiful hymn. And Jim Little later will tell you in the third verse what to do, but for now, isn't that beautiful? Great is what?
You know, there's everything in this world is temporary. We all make mistakes. Things don't go right. Someone you trust doesn't work out. Something you say didn't work out. But there's one thing that's always true, and that is the faithfulness of God. I'd like to sing with us, though, on the third verse. The third verse is chorus. Sing with us.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassion they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand breath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in glad adoration to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Remember, join with us on the chorus. This is a song about God's faithfulness to all of us.
Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine and 10,000 beside.
Let's hear it. Great.
faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto thee.
Good morning, church. Some of you have asked me if I still have Gold Beach as one of my churches, because I've been here for a few weeks now, and it just so happened that the rotation with camp meeting and everything has kind of put me here for a little bit, but don't worry, it'll get equalized here. So if you don't see me for a few weeks, just remember Gold Beach. Okay? This morning, I want to talk to you a little bit more about a living church. We talked about it last week some. How in order to be a living church, there are certain things that we must do. We must allow God to do in us. This morning is a continuation of that. And I want you to pay attention about early church ministry involvement. Pray with me as we start. Our Father in heaven, we again thank you so much for your love, your mercy, and your faithfulness, Lord, as it was so beautifully sang. As we ponder that, Lord, we just pray right now that your Spirit will guide us and be with us. Please be with me and hide me behind the cross so that Jesus may shine forth and minister to us this morning. For we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, we talked about the book of Acts last week, and we mentioned how the church of Acts was just really a growing church. But the real reason behind that growth was the involvement. The involvement not only of the apostles, the disciples, but of everyone around. You see, it takes a team. It takes a group of people to make things go. Let me read you a little paragraph here. Educating and training all to do something for the master will create living churches. So it doesn't say here just the leaders or just the pastors or just the elders or just the deacons. It says educating and training all to do something for the master will create living churches, for a working church is a living church. We should invest in the cause of truth so that we will feel that we are part of it. We should use the talent, influence, and means which God has given us so that we may take part in his work. So the more involved we are, the more, sacrificially we give ourselves to the gospel, to the calling that God has given us, the more we're going to be part of it, the more it's going to become a growing place, a growing church. And that's exactly what was happening in the New Testament church in Acts. Now, it is interesting to note that I've always heard that, you know, even since I was just a little boy, busy hands are hands that stay out of trouble. But if you're not busy, then you find trouble. And that's, you know, very easy to see, and we've experienced that with the little one. But you see, it doesn't always work that way. Let me give you an example here. Go to the book of Acts again, chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. It says, in those days when the number of disciples was increasing. In other words, this
problem arose when the church was growing at its fastest. This problem, there was a problem that came in that arose as things were, you know, people were involved, people were working, people were doing stuff in the church. Everyone was involved. Yet at the same time, this problem arose. And again, remember that the book of Acts is a book of action. This is not a bunch of disciples just sitting around waiting to see what was going to happen. These are people that are busy. There are, you know, they are doing all kinds of things for the gospel. The church in Acts was going, growing, and glowing. I mean, this thing was just happening. The church in Acts was preaching power and persuasion. I mean, they were doing all kind of work. The church in Acts was a believing, baptizing, and a brotherhood church. They were involved in every aspect of each other's lives. They were trying to help each other. They were trying to lift each other up. Yet at the same time, in that atmosphere, in that scenario, there arose a problem. Now, I believe that there's two kinds of problems. An old pastor told me when I was a young pastor. And I said, okay, what are those two categories? He says, well, there's growing problems, problems that you encounter because you grow. Another word for that is growing pains. He said, the opposite of that is dying pains. So he says, you're going to have pains regardless. Even as a little baby, you know, when they spurt, you know, it kind of hurts their bones because they're growing. And this is kind of the same thing that we have here in the church of Acts. Now, listen again. In those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebrew Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So, is it a big problem? Is it a huge problem? Well, certainly the Grecian Jews or the Hellenistic Jews thought about it. You know, they thought it was a huge problem because it was their widows that were not getting the food. Everybody else was continuing to get what they wanted, so to them it wasn't a big issue. Now, I want you to catch that importance because it doesn't seem like a major point right off the bat. It doesn't seem like a major deal right off the bat. You know, sure, some people are getting more food than others, or maybe some are getting double, or maybe some are getting none. But there was an issue going on here, and the Hellenistic Jews came up and said, hey, there is something wrong here. We need to fix it. Now, if you've been in churches or been in groups of, you know, where there's three or four people where you're having to make decisions or political decisions, you know that a lot of times you don't hear about a complaint until the people are actually gone. They don't stick around. As a matter of fact, one of the major causes of people leaving churches today is because they've been offended by somebody. I talked to you about this last week. Somebody said or did something, but they don't say a word. They don't address it. They don't talk to the right person. They don't even talk to the person that hurt them. They just leave. They just walk out. And it's a major, major problem today. It's a major problem in our society because our society tries to deviate from the problem instead of facing the problem. And so this morning I want to bring out to you that this is a big issue. This could have divided the church in two groups right here. Jews from the Hebrew background, and Jews from the Grecian background.
It could have split right here. But watch what happened. So, verse 2, the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Now, this seems kind of a little bit of self-righteous from the disciples' part, right? And I don't, you know, why should I be worrying about food? Is that what they're saying? That's not what they're saying here. What they're saying is that there's certain things that they have to do as a pastor, as a minister, as a leader. You know that there are more things that you could ever get done in one day. I mean, your list could keep growing. I mean, you know that in your own home. You know that in your own house. You know that with your own children, there is more things to do than there is time to do it. So what the disciples are saying here is there's just too many things. We can't get them all done. We can't concentrate and get them all done. So verse 3, brothers, they said, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we will give our attention to prayer and ministry of the word. So the problem was that there seemed to be favoritism in the way that food was being distributed to the widows. The Hellenistic Jews made it a point to address the problem. If you don't know that you have a problem, you can't fix the problem. And so knowing that you have it and addressing it makes it so much simpler to be able to resolve it. Second of all, as they address the problem, they come together in dialect. If you know, then talk. And talk to try to resolve instead of trying to divide. That's what they did here. Find 7 men. Look at the key characteristics that they're looking for. Men who are known to be full of the Spirit. In other words, you need men that have a good report. People that have a good reputation would be a good way to put it today. These men, they searched, they went through their mind, they started looking. They found 7 men. Another characteristic that they needed to have is that they were to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, how do you know if a person is filled with the Holy Spirit? Have you ever wondered that? I mean, it's not like we have a gauge on the side that says Holy Spirit and it goes up or down if it's full or if it's empty. That would be kind of nice, wouldn't it? Because you just go looking around, oh, yep, cool, you're full, let me hang with you. Right? It's not that way. You see, a person that is filled with the Holy Spirit can only show it by the way they live their life. A person that is full of the Holy Spirit can only show that in their life, specifically, even more intently, when trouble arises in their life. Have you ever seen the biblical characters when they dealt with tragedy? When they dealt with difficulties? When they dealt with hard issues that could have divided them? They allowed the Holy Spirit to unite them. I'm talking about a compassionate, kind spirit that leads in spite of difficulties. And the last thing is they were wise. So these officers, if you will, of the church were men of good report. They were spirit-led. And number 3, they were wise. Well, how do you know if somebody's wise? In the Spanish culture, if you have white hair, you're considered wise. There's no questions about it. I mean, there's no questions. White hair equals wisdom. I'm happy to report that I have a bunch of white hair back there. But again, if that was the only thing that we could look at and say, oh man, you're wise, let me hang with you. You know, owls are considered the wisest animals, you know, hooting, you know, and they're supposed to be real wise. But it doesn't work that way. How do you know that somebody's wise? Only when you are able to determine in difficult situation how they deal with problems. I can tell you all my life, or you can tell yourself all your life that you're wise. But until you have a situation in your life where you have to demonstrate that by the actions and decisions that you make, wisdom can always be objective. So wise, seven men. So here, it doesn't seem like a big issue. We got widows from one racial group and widows from another racial group. Doesn't seem like a big issue. Just split the food down the middle, let them take care of it. But it's bigger than that. This was a growing problem. This was a growing pain problem that if was not addressed, it would have divided the church. It would have split the church. Now, I don't have to tell you this morning, but there are churches that have split over more minute things than food. I've seen churches split over clocks. Clocks, you heard it right. Yeah, a clock, just like that. Where people wanted it in the church so that the preacher can stop on time. And other people said, no, don't worry about time. God doesn't even take care of time. You know, it just God does it whenever he wants, so shouldn't have. Half of them went to another church, put the big old clock in the back. Half of them went to another little church, no clock. You see, when it comes to dealing with problems, sometimes it doesn't matter how big or how little we think they are, but if we address them in the right manner, we can solve so many problems. As a matter of fact, you see, little problems turn into big problems, and big problems divide us. Big problems separate us. Big problems keep us from working together. Now catch this now. Here they are, Hellenistic widows, Hebrew widows. The Hellenistic Jews think that their widows are being taken, you know, they're not given the fair portion. So they gather the disciples together. They came together and said, choose seven men. We'll continue to do. Verse 5, this proposal pleased the whole group. And that's hard to do, to please a whole group. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose, and here are the seven, Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented this man to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So here, after they had studied, after they had prayed, they found seven men. And after that, they released them to do the work. They approved them, if you will, to do the work. But it was only after the whole group came together and decided this is the way to go. This is the way to do it. A united effort. Now watch what happens when they did that. Verse 7. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased now rapidly. Rapidly,
And a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. There are issues, there are problems that will test our faith in God because of decisions that others make. Amen? I hadn't planned on telling you this, but I think it fits into what we're talking about here. How many of you have heard of the Columbia Union? Columbia Union of Seventh-day Adventists. How many of you have heard of the vote that they just took? None of you have heard of the vote? All right? So this will go with what we're talking about here. The Columbia Union of Seventh-day Adventists, which is about five different states in the eastern corner of the United States, just called a special constituency session a few weeks back. And in this special constituency session, they voted to the point of ordination without regard to gender. Okay? So, to put it in simple language for us to understand, for me to understand, that means that women can now be ordained into the ministry in the Columbia Union. Does that make sense? Now, this has the potential, right, to divide the church. Amen? This has the potential for some people to get up and say, whoa, where are we going? What are we doing? This has the potential to create such an uprise, an uproar that people just, man, forget this. I'm leaving out of here. But the reality is, folks, that when problems arise, we need to come together. We need to pray. We need to solve. We need to talk. Now, let's bring it home here with us. It doesn't have to be a major problem of ordination. It can simply be a problem. It can simply be a problem of the color of the flowers. It can simply be a problem of the flavor of the beans. It can be even as a simple problem of the lights. It can be a simple problem. This is a big one. This is not a simple. For some of you, this is huge. It can be a problem of the sound. How it sounds in your ear. For some of you, it could be the clothes that the pastor, I don't know, many things. It could be, the problems can go on and on. You understand what I'm trying to say. The reason, the point in all of this is that the problem in itself, it could be little, it could be big, it could be huge, it could be a mountain. But the point is that we need to address the problem in the biblical process to find a resolution so that then we can get back to the business of preaching the gospel. Does that make sense? You see, this issue could have stopped the church from growing. Now, I want to point out again, chapter 6, verse 1. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the church was growing, the church was active, the church was going, it was doing things, that problem arose. They came together, they solved the problem. Verse 7. So the word of God spread, the number of disciples now increase, but now there's another word added there. Increase rapidly, or in this, the King James, you see it greatly. You see, when we address, when we work through our issues, when we resolve our problems, when we talk about them, when we unite, the church can be united in its mission again.
This also leads to effective ministry. The word of God increased, the number of disciples multiplied, many priests. Now, I want you to catch that. Many priests came to the faith of Christ. Now, what would that mean in our time today to apply this? Many priests, that would mean that other pastors, from other congregations accept the gospel of Jesus Christ, accept the truth, accept the belief, and they join the faith. Does that make sense? Now, let me give you an example of this. I have a very good friend. Actually, both my wife and I have very good friends that we've kind of connected during camp meeting and other different things that we do as pastors. He's from Bolivia, so there's a natural connection there. We were in Bolivia. Really nice. The wife is bicultural, bilingual. She was born in Puerto Rico, but she was raised here in the States. She speaks English and Spanish, so there's just a natural connection between us. And, we're just good friends. We like to be around them. They like to be around us. You know, that's kind of what a friendship is supposed to be about, right? Well, the pastor just told me, hey, I'm going to La Paz, Bolivia. For those of you that don't know about La Paz is one of the highest cities in the entire world. A lot of people down there. He says, I'm going down to La Paz, Bolivia at the end of August, so at the end of this month, to do a little missionary trip. I says, oh, okay, well, tell me about it, man. I would love to go with you, but it's just too short here. Well, let me tell you what's going on, he said. He said, in our little church there, one of his family members actually is a deacon or an elder in the church. He says, they've been going out and talking to people about Jesus Christ. And he says, one of the newer members of the church actually started making friends with a local pastor, a local Pentecostal pastor. And they started to study the Bible. And he said, this Pentecostal pastor started to see the Bible in a whole different light. And I says, well, tell me about this. He says, oh, yeah, the newer member that made friends with him he didn't do a whole lot. He just prayed that God would open his eyes. He would pray that God would remove the scales from his eyes so that he could see the truth in the Bible. And so they just studied for about 30 minutes each week. Man, and the more the pastor read, the pastor was saying, I've been doing all of this stuff wrong all of my life. And so then he has, of course, a big decision to make, because remember, most denominations, except for the Seventh-day Adventist Church, most denominations actually hire their local pastor. So that's his job. So if he quits, he's losing his job. You understand that? So this pastor is now to the point where he has been teaching to his congregation, his Pentecostal congregation, on Sunday morning, the biblical principles found in the Bible. So his congregation is sitting there, whoa, you mean what we were doing wasn't really biblical? Nope. Well, what are we going to do? Well, I don't know. We'll pray that God will lead us. And so in this whole process, they have decided that the whole congregation is going to join in with the local Seventh-day Adventist congregation. Okay? So can you say amen to that? Can you see some growing pains developing from that? You got some major, major growing pains, right? Because let's stop and think about it. Let me just, if you allow me, just for a second here, demonstrate what a Seventh-day Adventist Christian does. Right? As they worship Seventh-day Adventist Christians, quiet, reflective, thoughtful, not too loud amens, if any. Right? Am I correct? Now, let's put the other side of that. Let's go to a Pentecostal. How many of you have Pentecostal background here? Okay, so help me here. Pentecostal, preachers preaching, what do you say? Amen. Hey, preacher's going really good. What do you say? Jesus is coming back. What do you say? Hallelujah. Oh, man. Can you imagine? Growing pains. Right? I mean, one Pentecostal pastor friend that I had told me, Pastor, you know, we're friends, and he told me, Pastor, I had one of my church members that got so excited when we talked about heaven that he started from the back door doing backflips all the way to the front. And when he got to the front, he got up and said, Hallelujah, Christ is coming back. And what would you do with somebody like that? I tell him in an Adventist church, yeah, you would have to buy him a trampoline or send him to the Olympics. You see, the whole key in all of this is that we may not all agree on the same way that things are supposed to get done. We may not all agree. We may not all see with the same glasses. We may not all supposed to be backing or supporting whatever ideas. But you see, the whole idea of what we're talking about this morning is involvement. We are different, and that's a good thing. It would be very boring if we were all the same. We are different. Let's embrace our differences. Let's embrace our diversity. Let's embrace our diversity. We have some people here that have been in other countries. We have some people here that speak different languages. We have some people here that have different cultures. Just here in our church. We have people here that eat different food. And some of you wouldn't even touch hot stuff. I mean, just watching it makes you sweat. You see, our diversity is a good thing. I'll tell you what, and I didn't mean to stir your pure minds with what the Columbia Union did, but I'll tell you what, I have never heard the gospel presented in such a more powerful way. And I just heard a little bit of it. I've never heard the gospel presented in such a more powerful way than Elizabeth Talbot did at the Saturday night meeting in Gladstone about 3 weeks ago. What a spirit-filled woman. Just lifting up Jesus Christ. We have issues. We're gonna have problems. We're gonna face problems here in our church. We're always gonna have all of those things that are meant to separate us, and the devil's gonna try to do everything to separate us. But you see, congregational involvement, your ideas, your input is always needed. John Wesley said this about his church: my people are always at it. That didn't mean that they were always fighting. That meant that they were always involved, trying to do something, trying to find something to put their hand to. You see, God's multiplication system involves everyone in the church. Don't let misunderstandings, don't let miscommunication, don't let anything stop you from doing the work that God has called you to do. Don't let anything deter you from doing the gospel. Let's stay together. Let's stay united. Let's pray for the ministry placement committee, you know, as they'll be working through this year. I mean, they got a lot of work to do. I mean, they got to look for people that are spirit-filled. They got to look for people that are of good report. They got to look for people that are wise. And again, it'd be so nice if we had a little sticker on our head that measured those things and said, it'd be easy to pick them off. But we can't see the heart. So we need the Holy Spirit to lead us. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us. And as we come together, as we unite, as we embrace our diversity, even our differences, we can see God work in a mighty way to grow this church. And with that, we might have growing pains. But I'll tell you this morning, like that pastor told me, it is a whole lot better to have growing pains than to have dying pains. Ministry involvement. If you missed everything I said, maybe the women's ordination has you all rattled up. Calm it down for a second. And let me tell you this. If you've missed everything this morning, what I'm telling you this morning is that we need you to be involved. We need you to get on the boat. Don't jump off the boat because you don't like the way somebody's rowing. Stay on the boat. We need you. May God bless you.
It's nice to feel that we're
needed, right? And he's the best friend. He is. Aren't you glad he is? Let's stand, please. In closing, we're going to sing 251, verse 1 and 3.
My junior year, way back when, this is in juniors. I was 12 years old. This was the number one song this year. Those that can remember it in a higher key, I'm sorry, it's been lowered. But let's sing about our living Lord.
I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, no matter men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know. Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King.
Notice.
The hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind.
Why?
Because
he lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along this narrow way. He lives, he lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart.
Thank you.
Our Father in heaven, this morning, if we haven't done it lately, we ask you again to live in our heart. We ask you again, Lord, to change our heart, to change our character, to change us, Lord, so that we will reflect you. And Lord, it is my prayer this morning that you would continue working with us as a local church here. I pray this morning for our church in general, worldwide, Lord. We got some issues that we're going to have to deal with. But Lord, I know that no issue is greater than you. No problem is greater than you. So I pray that you would help us to maintain our unity, to maintain our strength, to maintain our faith in you. Live in our heart, Lord. That's our prayer this morning. In the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, God loves you, and so do I. Have a wonderful Sabbath.